Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You're about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Now, we are moving into a dimension of moving the kingdom from you to a place. And this time, we are looking at the big Jew cities. You know, Jesus Christ started. And as we end in verse 16 or so of this chapter 10, you see that Jesus Christ is now dealing with cities. Because actually, the aim of the kingdom of God is that the kingdoms of this world will eventually become the kingdom of our God and his Christ. But he has a strategy, individual to family to cities. So this is how Jesus Christ puts it. Look at verse number 10. Oh, verse number 8. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are said before you. Alright? So, we are now looking at the principle of ministering to cities. Ministering en masse. Okay? Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are said before you. What is Jesus Christ saying over here? The gospel of the kingdom, ladies and gentlemen, flip your Bibles to chapter 4 of Luke and verse 43. But Jesus said to them, okay, verse 42 for context. Now when it was day, Jesus departed and went into a deserted place, and the crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving. But he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent. And he was preaching in the synagogues of Galilee. He says that I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also. He didn't say in other cities. He said to other cities. In other words, as we move on with the gospel of the kingdom, we must have a ministry to the whole city where we are en masse, handling the problems of the city. Do you understand? So it's not just a gospel for individuals, you know, but also for whole cities also. So we must have a message. We must have phrases. We must have some spikes of ministering to the cities also. Because Jesus Christ, that is how he ministered. He says, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, because for this purpose I was sent. Hallelujah. So, the gospel of the kingdom expands. The strategy is an individual to family. But eventually, we must have ministry that goes directly also to cities. Jesus ministered to individuals, as you can see from the pages of the gospel. But he also ministered to cities. And the way that he ministered is the way we have to minister. He says, as my Father sent me, even so send I you. The same way I was sent, you know, to preach to cities, I am sending you in the same way. Not just to individuals, but also to cities. Unfortunately, in sending the gospel of the kingdom to people, we have only focused on individuals. But I'll show you something in the book of Matthew. An example of Jesus Christ ministering to cities. I think the counterpart is in Luke chapter 21 or so. But let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37. Matthew 23 verse 37. There's an example of Jesus Christ ministering to cities. He says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophet. So do you see the problem he is trying to address over here? Jerusalem was notorious for something. Various societies can be notorious for something. They can have a particular problem. And we have to let the gospel of the kingdom touch on that also. Okay. So Jesus says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophet and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. There is a ministry to a city. You know, a city as a city, not as individuals. Look at it. Says that, how often I wanted to gather your children together. Who are the children of Jerusalem? Who are the children of Jerusalem? The people, the inhabitants of that city are referred to as the children together. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Okay? As far as Jesus was concerned, gathering Jerusalem, the children of Jerusalem together, was going to solve their problem of killing prophet. Yeah, because the devil always does that. Should I take you to the book of Zechariah where the four horns, you know, scattered Jerusalem? As long as the children were scattered and not gathered, Jerusalem could not be the Jerusalem God wanted Jerusalem to be. But God sent four carpenters. Four carpenters is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ in the four gospels. Hallelujah. Jesus in the gospel of Matthew as a lion, you know, in the gospel of Mark as an ox, in the gospel of Luke as a man, in the gospel of John as an eagle. Check out the book of Ezekiel chapter 1. You understand how God's creatures are. They are not simple creatures at all. Jesus came as a carpenter. Bible says that I raised up four carpenters. And what did they do? They came to terrorize the horns that scattered Jerusalem, Judah, and Israel. Is that it? Yeah. So Jesus says, how often, Jerusalem, how often I wanted to gather your children together. You know, because when Jerusalem was gathered, the devil always messes people up by dividing them. Dividing cities, dividing people groups. The aim of the gospel of the kingdom is to bring what? Peace. Bring people together. This one, it doesn't even look like the city accepting Jesus Christ. Well, the city cannot accept Jesus Christ. When I say that, you understand. It's the children in the city that can accept Jesus Christ. And when the children in the city accept Jesus Christ, you can see that the city has accepted Jesus Christ. As we go on, you understand. You will see it. You see, what I'm trying to say to us is that we must look at the problems that has been there generationally in whatever land that we are going. Hallelujah. So that phrases here and there will help terrorize those horns disturbing the cities. Hallelujah. So that we touch on the individuals, which is the main strategy, but we touch on the city and mass also. This is the way that we must move the kingdom of God. We must move the kingdom of God, people. Not just to individuals, as our thrust has been over the years, but also to minister to people in mass. What is the problem of Arabic people, Arabs? What is the problem of Africa? What are the challenges, I should say? What are the challenges of white people? What are the challenges? Can we minister to them? Yes, we can minister to them. They have big challenges. And we have to identify and minister to that challenge. Latter part of last week, I read about the first time in the history of the United Kingdom where they have a minister for suicide. Have you heard that? Yes. A minister for suicide. Like we have a minister for foreign affairs, minister for lands and natural resources. They have a minister for suicide. If you have a smartphone, just Google minister for. When you start minister for, it will bring you a lot, including minister for suicide. In the UK, early this year in January, Theresa May appointed for the first time a minister of loneliness. The minister has operated and in September, October or so, she has appointed a minister for suicide because in a month, among the males in England alone, about over 4,500 males take their own lives. If you're a government, wouldn't you see the problem? Wouldn't you see the spirit of suicide in that generation? They can drive the Porsche's car, the Range Rovers, they can have the best of everything, but they end their lives. Why? Because there's nothing in that. So we have to identify where the problem is. Sometimes my mouth, I find it difficult to say some things because when I went to the States, it's a rare opportunity. There I saw what Jesus Christ meant. Or I should say, yes, what he meant when he said, if you gain the riches of the whole world and lose your soul. Because in one place, I could see the riches of the whole world. The whole world in that one place. I said, hey! Then I remembered that temptation where the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him the glories of this world in a moment of time. And he said that if you worship me, all these things will be yours. Because all the wealth of nations all over the world is kept in that one place. Rare opportunity to allow you to descend that low to go and look at it. I looked at it. I said, wow, powerful. Here they are. Aggregating the wealth of the world in the financial capital of the world. But they are committing suicide and they are lonely. So Jesus says, Jerusalem, your problem is over the years, every prophet, when he comes to Jerusalem, he will die. That's why Jesus Christ died. He knew he was going to die. When he reaches Jerusalem, they will kill me. He did a triumphant entry, entered Jerusalem for 5 days. After 5 days, he was hanging outside Jerusalem, outside the camp. Because that's the problem of Jerusalem. They kill men of God. They don't, or should I say men of God? Yes, they kill. These are religious people. The temple is there. But if you come and you are preaching that which doesn't sit with all of them and what they have known for years, they will kill you. They will end you. Not in the name of hatred for God, but in the name of love for God and the things God has given to us. You say you destroy the temple, you have to die because you are too strange a prophet. Says, I sent you all the prophets, you killed them. How I wanted as a carpenter to gather you together, but you would not. Let's finish it. See, who should see? Who should see? Please, I'm asking, who should see? It's Jerusalem. They don't even see what is happening to them. See, your house is left to you desolate. What does it mean? Your house is left to you desolate. He's talking to the city. He says that the city of Jerusalem, your house is left to you desolate. Do you know what it means? It means that your children have left you. The children, they have scattered. Your house is desolate. Your problem remains. For I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. When are they going to say this? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. When are they going to say that? Says that you won't see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus is talking about he as a king revealing himself to Jerusalem as a city. Says that you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Sometimes when we read this scripture, we think he's talking about a triumphant entry. This thing is a post-triumphant entry ministry Jesus Christ was giving to Jerusalem. The triumphant entry is in Matthew chapter 21. Is it 21? Let me show you. Matthew chapter 21 and then verse 9. Matthew 21 verse 9. Says, and the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. This is Matthew 21 verse 9. Jesus Christ goes on now. He comes to Matthew chapter 23 and he says that you are going to say again, blessed is he who comes in the name. What is he talking about? He is talking about when he comes in his kingdom. Then he reveals himself to Jerusalem and he will repair Jerusalem. Because when they say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Jesus Christ will reveal himself like Joseph did to his brothers. Hallelujah. But see such beautiful ministry, Jesus Christ. He says, how often, can we all say often? Often means that in his earthly life, as he was ministering to individuals in Jerusalem, he was ministering to Jerusalem. But Jerusalem will not take this version of kingdom ministry where he's ministering and mass to it, addressing their problem of the spirit of killing men of God. See, how often? He was doing it often. He was doing it often. But they don't accept it. They don't see it. He says that because you don't see the day of your visitation, according to Luke's version of the same scripture. You don't see the day of your visitation. I'm doing it often. It's part of the gospel of the kingdom. The principle of ministering to the problems of England, to the problems of Africa, to the problems of your village, to the problems of your tribe. I mean, to issues that we have. Hallelujah. It's powerful. Let's address the next principle. as we move the kingdom from us to other people, individuals, and to other places. We should bear in mind the principle of integrating into their culture. The principle of integrating into their culture.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
The principle of integrating into their culture is found in this one-stop shop where Jesus Christ tells ordinary believers how to kingdomize. So he says to them in verse 8, he says that whatever city you enter and they receive you, each said things as I said before you. Each said things as I said before you. In other words, you see, food is a symbol of a culture of a people. Like I said, Jesus is not trying to say, if you don't take raw fish and you go to a Japanese family and they say, we have raw fish and that's all we have, it means that you should eat it. As you eat it, something, how your message will go. Remember what we talked about. Focus. No good play. So he says that eat the food of the city. Integrate into their culture. That's very important. That is extremely important so that they accept you. Next principle, I want to finish this thing. Next principle, I don't know, I've lost count. But the next one, you should have 12 at the end of the day. The next one is the principle of giving them, the people you go to, give them a kingdom message. A principle of giving them a kingdom message. Verse 9 says, that's verse 9. And heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Heal the sick there. Why did he say heal the sick first? Before and say to them, the kingdom has come to you. What we like to do is to preach. Is that right? Afterwards, we do what? We say, okay, now let's put the word, the theories aside. When I hear some people talk things like that, I say, anyway, with time, we will get to see that there is nothing greater than the word of God. Nothing greater than the word of God. Hallelujah. That everything will pass away. Prophecy, or should I say prophecy, miracles, moving mountain, everything will pass away. What will remain is the word of God. If there is something greater than the word of God should move for that thing to remain. Ladies and gentlemen, I have deliberately pointed this out thing to you so that you understand that in the eyes of Jesus, his words, what you say is the end of the game. What you say is the main thing, not what you do. Oh, let's put all the theories aside. Some people say, let's put this theory thing aside and let's now demonstrate. As if the theory is a stepping stone, the word of God is a stepping stone to something else. The word of God is not a stepping stone. The word of God is the end. Is the end. Every other thing is a stepping stone. Healing is a stepping stone to the word of God. We who are sending the gospel of the kingdom must elevate what Jesus elevates. Put it at its right position. Because you can't go telling people to accept the word when your respect for the word yourself is suspect. Because you always bring forth after your kind. There is no way you can disrespect the word of God and bring forth to somebody who respects the word of God. There is no way you can step on God, and bring forth to somebody who elevates God. Because unless the message of God comes in and he rejoices, he delights in mercy than in judgment. That is how sometimes we don't see that what we sow, we reap. Because he delights in mercy more than in judgment. You see? So, Jesus says, heal the sick. And then say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Why did he say heal the sick and say the kingdom of God? Because healing is a sign that points to the word. Healing, it's a sign of the kingdom. It's a sign, according to Mark chapter 16, of the gospel of the kingdom that we should send out into all the world. 5 kingdom supernatural signs. Physical healing, people getting physically healed, is one way of letting the world know that God can restore their lives, not just the physical, but the spiritual. But human as they have to see. And that is why it is a sign of something spiritual, which is the word of God, which is spirit and truth. Hallelujah. These are principles that we must gird ourselves with to be effective in sending the gospel of the kingdom to wherever place that we are going. Hallelujah. So he says, and when you go, heal the sick and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. All right. So that is the principle of what? Giving them a kingdom message. Let's look at the book of Acts. Let me show you something. In the book of Acts, there is only one person who is called an evangelist. Indeed, clearly called an evangelist in the New Testament. So if there is anything we have to learn about evangelism or an evangelistic message, a message to bring people born again, we must learn it from Philip. Look at Acts chapter 8. Philip, he is the only person who is called Philip the evangelist. He started as one of the 70. He started as a disciple. They were not called deacons in the Bible. We call them 7 deacons, but they are called disciples in the Bible, just like this 70. He started out like that and he ended as an evangelist, at least according to Acts 21 verse 8. But look at Acts 8 verse 12. Let's back up to verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. What did Philip preach? Christ. He preached the king to them. I hope you can see that. Now, let us still look at verse 12. But when they of Samaria believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Philip did what Jesus Christ typically told us to do. To do what? Heal the sick and say to them, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the king and his dominion put together. There's no way you can speak about Jesus without speaking about the dominion of Jesus. Because he's a king. He came as a king. Hallelujah. He was a king before he became a savior. Don't deny him of who he is. He told the Father, give me the glory that I had with you before I came around. Came around as a savior. What glory did he have before he came around? He wasn't a savior. He was a king. Give me back the glory that I have with you. Hallelujah. So you need to go in bringing the word of the kingdom in motion from one person to another, one place to another place. Bear in mind the principle of giving them the kingdom message. The next principle, let me talk to you about it quickly. The principle of knowing that citywide signs and wonders are not necessarily for repentance. Look at our scripture, our one-stop instructions to ordinary believers. Look at verse 12. But I say to you that it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. That is, okay, let's back down. Let me show you something. Okay, very, very beautiful in verse 11. Verse 10 for context says, but whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go into their streets and say, the very dust of your city which cling to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near to you. Can you imagine a city that does not accept Jesus and his dominion and his rule? A city that refuses the kingdom of God. He says that even when you go and shake the dust off your feet, nevertheless, tell the city, nevertheless, although you didn't receive the kingdom, nevertheless, the kingdom has come. Can you see what Jesus is telling them? These are not people who received his rule. They didn't receive the kingdom message. He says that, look, they didn't receive the kingdom of God. The message you went preaching the kingdom, they didn't receive it. But tell them that no matter whether you refuse the kingdom message or not, yes, tell. Like a song I heard, that nobody can destroy reggae. Have you heard that song? Don't say it's okay. Nobody. You see, everything that God plants, don't try uprooting it. You cannot do it. Things that God plants, he was referring to the doctrines. He told in Mark that beware of the leaving of the scribes and the Pharisees. And he was talking about their doctrine. And he said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. You know, so he said, these people, they say, oh, go away with your kingdom. They say, oh, go away. When will the kingdom come? What is kingdom? We are here. I mean, they are blind to eternity. They are blind to the fact that Jesus is a king. He's coming as a king. They are blind to the fact that the rapture can take place at any time, and we will forget all about everything because he appeared a second time without sin. Not to do anything about sin, because he has completed everything 2,000 years ago unto salvation. Says, even when they refuse it, tell them, nevertheless, the kingdom of God has come near you. Nobody can destroy, not reggae, but something. Look at verse 12. But I say to you that it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. I can give you a good news. I don't know whether you can take it. Verse 13 says, woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. These are typical Jewish cities. You know, some of the disciples came from Bethesda. I was in Bethesda when I visited the Holy Land. He says, woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. Can you see Jesus Christ is not addressing? He's talking to individual believers, ordinary church members who must go out with the kingdom message. Now he is talking, addressing cities. You see the reach of the gospel of the kingdom. He's addressing to, woe to you, Chorazin. It's like, woe to you, Sekendi Tekrai. Not people in, no. The city, woe to you, Bethesda. And what does he say? For if the miracles, the mighty works that were done in you were done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. This is the principle of knowing that citywide signs and wonders are not necessarily for repentance. They are for what? They are for destroying the works of the devil. There is power. We have to be empowered to do mighty signs, to do what? Destroy the works of the devil. But do you know what brings men to repentance? The goodness of the Lord, the love of the Lord brings men to repentance. Love doesn't destroy the works of the devil. Neither does power bring men to repentance. Men can see all the signs. That is what Jesus was telling them. Men can see all the signs and wonders and not repent. Because it's not power that makes people repent. There are some people in certain churches, they see power all the time. No repentance. The love of God is what breaks us. Hallelujah. It's powerful. Bear in mind that principle so that you don't misplace things. Because sometimes we feel that because there is more power, you know, that's all. All that we need is power. No. We need the revelation of Jesus to get to the people. Okay? Basically, the problem is that they are blind. Not that they don't have any. They are blind. They need to see. They need revelation. Okay? Last but one principle, very quickly. The principle of being... I said I wanted to show you something. You know, Sidon is the firstborn of Canaan who was cursed by Ham. Sidon is an example of dark-skinned people. The first time Jesus Christ went outside Jerusalem was to Tyre and Sidon, to a Syrophoenician who was combining himself, the Arabic people and black people. He tells us that God will have more mercy on us. I don't know whether you can take it. God will have more mercy on us. I told my friend many years ago, that black people, God will have me. Oh yeah, he's a very fair God. Not that people compare, look at this, look at this, look at this. You'll be surprised. They will bring that man of God here, they will bring the African man here. You will see that mercy. He says, Jesus said, it will be more tolerable in the day of judgment for Tyre. Somebody who was cursed through no fault of his. Cursed to servitude. It's not all Africans. You understand that. In Jesus Christ, the curse is taken away. The foot of the cross is flat. But he's trying to tell us something about God. The last principle I want to talk to you about is the principle of being ambassadors or regents for the kingdom. That is in... Did I tell you about Capernaum? Look at Capernaum, verse 15. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. When I was in the Holy Land, God took me there. I visited Capernaum. And anybody who has been there will tell you, Capernaum up to today, they are in ruins. There is only one structure in Capernaum. By the way, Capernaum is the city of Jesus. That's where he lived. But you see, Capernaum, because Jesus Christ lived there, were exalted to heaven. He says that you'll be brought down to Hades because they took Jesus Christ for granted. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. There is only one temple sitting there. The top. You can Google Capernaum. You will see one temple. It's like pink roof. Hey, when Jesus says things there, this one he was even referring to some time to come on. But now, Capernaum is the breeze. a city of Jerusalem, which is in ruinmost, is Capernaum. There are some ruins, they call it, where Jesus' house is ruins, stones. You see just stones on the ground, on the floor. Because Jesus Christ said, you Capernaum, I live in you, you'll be brought down. The final principle, go and read about it. It's in verse 16. It says that, I'm sending you out. Know something, whoever receives you, whoever receives me, receives my Father. What is he saying? To the ordinary believers, you are my ambassadors, ambassadors of the kingdom. An ambassador is somebody, he stands in for a nation. When he appears, the nation has appeared. It's powerful. So if they take your word, they have taken the word of the king. He's teaching us about our ambassadorial status and what goes with it. All of the divine immunities from suffering. When I say suffering, time will fail me to break it down for you. Jesus Christ bore them all for us. Hallelujah! So know that you are an ambassador. Know that if you drink any poisonous thing, it shall not harm you. You have a certain immunity. Just because you have the gospel of the kingdom, you are sending the gospel of the kingdom. Don't be afraid, he says to us. You are representing me. A whole kingdom is behind your back. As you, an ordinary disciple, you go forth. I wanted to end this because I think we must end it. 12 principles I've showed you from Sunday and now about the kingdom in motion. Let's get these things all around us. Let's smell them. It makes us more effective in bringing unbelievers to enter the kingdom of God. Amen. God bless us. You came from
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.